celebrate Celtic culture and music through travel, I'm going to tell you what you can expect on my Celtic Invasion vacations. So if you go to CelticInvasion.com, you won't find much information about my Celtic Invasion vacations. I usually list the itinerary when it becomes available, but that can be January or March. This year, it doesn't look like it's going to be till May. So you will find podcasts and links to pictures and videos. I don't know that any of it really paints a good picture. So I thought I would try to break down how these trips work to help you decide if you want to join me in the future. Celtic Invasion vacations are not your typical travel tour experience. Most tourists travel on big buses. They go place to place. You stay up late. You get up early. There's 30, 60, or even 90 people packed on 1 to 3 tour buses. And if you're like me, that sounds pretty miserable. My first two trips were on a tour bus. Everyone was a fan of my music, so that was pretty awesome. The bus drivers also, they were just spectacular. But that's a lot of people for an introvert like me. And I don't know how much of the fatigue was from so many people or the staying up late and getting up early business. But it's not my preferred way of traveling in general. I like small groups. My mom, she traveled to Italy in 1985. She moved there. So I've gone back and forth to Europe for a long time. And my mother is an awesome adventurer. I went to school on an American military base in Vicenza for my senior year of high school. And while all the other high school seniors went to Rimini to go get drunk, my mom and I went on an artistic pilgrimage following the works of Piero della Francesca. She instilled in me the value of planning as well as spontaneity. You see that in my Celtic Invasion vacations itinerary. When I finally make one, that is. Typically, I don't have a full itinerary when I announce the latest trip. I have ideas. In fact, I usually have one big idea, then I find a way to make it work. One person told me he was disappointed when my trip to the Highlands of Scotland a few years back did not also include the Isle of Skye like it was initially listed on the early itinerary. And that again was because I had a big idea and I didn't quite realize where the Isle of Skye was. But when we finally settled on the details, I realized it was impractical and I didn't notify people. I learned from that error. If I make a big change to what was planned, you are welcome to back out. I don't usually settle on solid itineraries until December or January. I just don't have enough details to make a solid decision. This year, for instance, I had laid down some plans in March, and then everything changed when I was notified that the place that we were staying was no longer accepting residents. So things happen. Now, of course, this might make some people uncomfortable, especially when you're putting down up to maybe $3,000 plus air travel to join me. The adventure is worth it. The great thing about traveling on the Celtic Invasion vacation, in my opinion, is that it is a small group, and that means maximum flexibility for adventure. So let's answer some questions. When are the Celtic Invasion vacations? This can always vary, but typically I run my trips in early June, sometimes late May. This seems to be the best time to travel to Ireland and Scotland. People talk about the rain in Ireland. The early June period seems to invariably have one of the lightest rainfalls ever. It's just perfect. How long is each trip? Celtic Invasion vacations are about 7 days long. The trips are officially scheduled from Saturday to Saturday, and that's because that's how long most vacation rentals book. But I'm not going to be taking you to 7 hotels in 7 days. We stay in one place most of the week. If the vacation rental is more than a couple hours from the airport, or there's something cool to see closer, we might stay in a hotel nearer to the airport or that other location for the last night of the invasion. It just depends on how soon everyone on the trip has booked their departure. When should I arrive? I usually ask invaders to arrive the day before the trip. That way you can recover from jet lag and adjust to the time change. I still remember one of my invaders sleeping on the drive across Ireland because she flew in that morning. So it just seems just not a good idea. But that also allows us to leave first thing in the morning on Saturday to drive to the vacation rental if we arrive before the trip. While it is recommended, it is not required. As long as you arrive by 11 a.m. on Saturday, we will adjust. You are also responsible for the hotel on Friday night, but you might find a roommate with other invaders if you need that. When should I depart? Again, it's up to you. I prefer you to set your departure after noon on Saturday. You can stay as long as you want, though. I usually leave on Sunday after the trip is over. How do you select the destinations? Destinations are chosen by invaders and, of course, me. I usually have an idea of a place I want to see, so I look for a suitable vacation spot. But sometimes I ask for suggestions from invaders. Our trip to Brittany and Cornwall were both chosen because some regular invaders wanted to visit all 7 Celtic nations. Of course, I get the final say, and if I get enough people to attend one of these more remote spots, I may make adjustments. Once we settle on a big destination, the next step is figuring out the generalized itinerary. Is there downtime? Yes! This is not an intense, constantly moving tour. Celtic invasion vacations are about relaxation, adventure, and fun, and of course music, and how much can be up to you. There's usually at least one day where we are near to the cottage and take it easy. We explore the local town. Wednesdays have the option of a little extra downtime for those who need it. How do you choose the itinerary? You can't really make an itinerary until you know where you're going, right? Well, the challenge for me is that I need to know the exact place we are staying to figure out where our itinerary will go. My next step is to start researching vacation rentals. I look for rentals in our destination area that hold between 8 to 12 people, sometimes more, but that's pushing it. I want it to look nice, comfortable, and easily accessible. In fact, I want the majority of the cool stuff that we will explore to be within 30 minutes of where we are staying. Once I know the exact location, I can plan the itinerary. What does the typical itinerary look like? So the first day of the trip involves driving to our destination. We need at least one interesting place to stop along the way, maybe two if you include lunch. When we arrive, we need groceries. I confess there's something extra fun about going to a grocery store in Europe. Some of the of our invaders join me for a shopping experience as we load up on breakfast and a couple and some dinner supplies. I make dinner for the first night. Typically, it's my secret pasta recipe. That evening is usually concluded with a little music by me. The second day is usually a good day to stay local, so we explore one or two of the cool things that are nearby. We try to spend time out of the car, walk around. It's good to stretch our legs after traveling. On either the second or third day, I like to bring in a tour guide, if possible. My trips are not geared around tours, but local guides are great for adding a little bit of history, culture, and legends to the experience. So if I can make it happen, I will do that. Guides are also good at giving us a local perspective of things we should check out that are not necessarily on our itinerary. In Brittany, we found some cool cairns that were not on our original itinerary. In Cornwall, we got an overview of Tintagel and found some standing stones I would have never found. In Wales, Gwilym Morris shared the incredible legends of Merlin and introduced us to an eco-resort hidden in the mountains. In Donegal, we found some great restaurants and a former passage tomb. Again, wouldn't have happened if we didn't have those guides. So that frequently helps if I can make it happen. Around day 3, we're ready for a different travel experience, and that's when I try to get us out on the water or on a train, something to shake up the feel of the trip. Day 4 is the midweek break. Again, we stay local. Some choose to relax in our cottage. Others explore something that's new that's local in the area. We might drive around specific areas. It really just depends. Day 5 usually takes us on a long adventure. We'll get in the van and drive further to see something outside of our main region. This gives us a nice look at other regions nearby. It also adds to the fun adventure. Day 6 is intentionally left open most of the time. We usually find something cool by this time that we might not have realized before the trip began, or perhaps a guide or local we met had a recommendation. That's when we take the advice of others to explore something different. The final day is usually spent fairly local. It's time for a last-minute exploration of our area. Or sometimes, again, if we're traveling back towards the airport, we'll find something in the new region to explore. The final day is usually spent pretty local. It's time for the last-minute exploration of our area. Sometimes we pack up and make our way towards the airport. One or two bonus destinations end up on the final day. It just kind of varies. What makes a Celtic invasion vacation different from other tours? I like to stress that Celtic invasion vacations are not tours. They are indeed vacations. I want my invaders to feel relaxed and happy by the end of the trip, not exhausted like I was on my first 2 trips to Ireland. You should be energized and excited for the next Celtic invasion experience. how many people join the invasion. The number can vary, but I usually aim for between 8 to 12 invaders. Too many people and I start having trouble finding restaurants to eat at. And even 12 is pushing it. I think 8 is like the ideal number, but it just depends on what kind of place we can find. What personal papers are needed for traveling on a Celtic invasion vacation? You do need a passport. It's usually good to get your passport at least 90 days out. I would suggest applying for one a minimum of 6 months before you depart, but there are some expedited services that can get them sooner. Just plan ahead. You do not need a visa. You don't need an international driver's license either. In fact, your regular driver's license is just fine if you plan to drive in Europe with any car company. Make sure you bring that at the very least. But of course, driving on the invasion is usually done by me. Since the pandemic, you'll need a vaccination card. Invasions are like family vacations. We want to take care of our fellow invaders. So your COVID vaccination card is essential for my trip and a lot of European travel. I just want to make sure that everyone is safe. How much do Celtic invasion vacations cost? That varies year to year. I would say in general, it's going to be about $2,800 up to $3,000 for the land part of the trip for each person. It could be lower, but just plan on that. It does not cover the cost of air travel. You handle your own airline tickets. Your fee covers your housing for a full week. That's for a shared room, either a double if you're in a couple, or two singles, depending on our housing. It may cost extra to get a single room by yourself. Your fee covers a breakfast every day and dinner at least 5 times. Often I cover more than that. Sometimes it works well to make lunches if we're not planning to be near a restaurant. So I happily pay for lunch supplies if we need those. But in general, you are responsible for your lunch. You can have what you like for breakfast each morning. Some days we have a full breakfast with eggs, bacon, yogurt, fruit, cheese, whatever you want. Grocery shopping usually happens on the first day, so whatever you need, we can probably find it. Other days, if we want to get going early, then we might have a continental breakfast with just breads, cheese, yogurt, or fruit. And yes, there is coffee every morning, and tea too. I personally need my coffee. I cook dinner at least 2 days during the week. We have my world famous secret pasta meal, and then there's the Celtic invasion specialty, which is Prince Charlie Secret. It's a recipe we picked up a few years ago and is now a tradition on the invasions. There may be more than 2 meals, but of course we like to eat out too. The toughest thing about dining on the Celtic invasions is finding a place to eat. If the group is under 9 people, that's usually not too difficult. But if we have more than that, it can be a real challenge. I plan ahead for that because who doesn't like to eat out in Europe? I consider that a big part of the experience. Is there music? Well, at least twice a week, there definitely is. We spend the evening relaxing at our college with dinner and music. I am, of course, host of the Irish and Celtic Music Podcast, so the podcast music will be playing frequently. But I'm also a musician. I play Celtic music with a sci-fi drinking songs twist. I call it sci-fi-irish music. You can hear my music through my website at KeltFather.net. I plan to play, again, at least twice a week. At least twice a week for at least an hour. But a lot of it depends on you and how excited you are to hear some music. If we're really lucky, you might bring an instrument too. Then we can have an Irish session with songs and tunes afterwards. And if we're really fortunate, I will find a musician or bring in a musician to come play for us. And that's frequently difficult to pull off, but when it happens, it's absolutely amazing. When does our day begin and end? So breakfast is usually around 7:30 or 8 a.m. with a departure, 8:30 or 9 a.m. Just depends on at what kind of day we're going to have. It's nice to have a leisurely morning. We don't want to rush off and do too much, but we do have to, everything is made by me in the breakfast department. So so we have to get things going, got to get cleaned up and such before we can head out. So that's something that usually takes a little bit of time, but again, we try to get out by 9 a.m. at the latest, absolute latest. We don't usually do too much in the evenings. Usually we'll have dinner, but since Irish sessions usually don't begin until 9 p.m., it's not something we usually attend outside of our cottage session. But if it's something that you want to do, we might be able to make it happen. It's just a lot of it's going to be dependent on the moment. And sometimes there may be one late evening where we will do something like that, but usually not much more than that. How old is too old? How young is too young? I've had people ages 18 on into their 70s on my Celtic Invasion vacations. I'd say the vast majority are in their 40s, 50s, or 60s, but I don't really think much about it because I adjust each trip to who's on it. In 2019, a younger group hiked up Skellig Michael in Ireland, while the less physically able and landed on the Greater Blasket Island by boat. The physically active walk, hike, and run ahead if so desire. Those who aren't take it at their own speed. The Isle of Skye was one of the few places we went where it was better to be physically active. Yet, there's a lot of hiking on that island. But you know, I don't think anyone's vacation fun was hindered by being less physically active. We had quite a few people who could not go to the top of Old Man's Store. As for younger folks, I typically don't prefer to have kids on the trip, though in 2022, my family is coming sort of to be on the trip. I know the challenges associated with that, but I'm willing to consider it as long as you feel the kids are up to getting up and going. One lady asked about a teenager, and I think I might be open to teenager a bit more if they're independent and still willing to follow the rules. How do we travel? Typically, we travel in a van. These are usually 9-seaters with lots of luggage space. Sometimes we will add a second van or a car to carry extra invaders. And speaking of luggage, we do have limited space. I find that one suitcase per person is plenty, plus a carry-on. You typically don't need more. There's usually laundry facilities too, if you really need it. So you can always wash something extra. There's a whole bunch of videos on YouTube where you can learn about how to travel light. If you truly need an extra suitcase, that's fine, but your experience is so much better when you just travel light. You don't need much. I used to carry my computer all the time, and now my phone is my computer, and that's all I really need. How do you sign up? The first step is for me to open up the invasion to the public. You see, former invaders get first dibs. Once it's public, here's what you do. First, email an application form to me. Second, send me a check for your deposit that reserves your spot on the invasion. You have to send it within 2 weeks of emailing your application form. Finally, just send me your final payment before the deadline and you're golden. Speaking of your final payment, you are welcome to break it up into multiple payments if you want or can't pay all at once. I'm happy to work with you to make this trip happen. How do I cancel if I need to? First off, I have a $400 non-refundable deposit, though there is a caveat for the non-refundable part. If I change the dates, you can get a refund. If you can find someone to take your spot or someone willingly takes your spot, then you can get a refund. However, if you're sick or turned away by an airline or country, I can't offer a refund. Typically, 30 to 60 days before the trip, once I start paying for things like our housing, vans, tour guides, whatever, I can no longer offer a refund. That usually starts about the time of the Celtic Invasion deadline. Now, I am not a corporation, so there may be flexibility. My goal here is to have people sign up and then not drop a month later. That happened on my first Celtic Invasion. So if you want to go, make a commitment with a non-refundable deposit. All right, all in all, Celtic Invasion vacations are about happily experiencing the fun, culture, history, and legends of one small but magical location, and I hope you'll consider joining me on the next Celtic Invasion vacation. Sign up to my mailing list at CelticInvasion.com so you don't miss out on this incredible adventure, and if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask. Send it to CelticInvasion@gmail.com. Thank you so much. Sláinte.